Nice to be with you. This is two verses from Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing the position of Advaita Acharya. With an 8-page purport. I'm not going to read the 8-page purport. We'll just discuss the verse, and we can chant it together. I'm not good with Bengali verses, but I'll try. Maya yaiche dvi angsha nimitta upadana Maya nimitta hetu upadana pradhana Purusha ishvara ache dvi murti haiya Vishva Shrishti Kari Nimita Upadhana Lana. Translation. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause, Nimita, and the material cause, Upadhana, Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan the material cause, so Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. Very clear, right? This is a description of Advaita Acharya's position. Commonly within ISKCON, we think of Advaita Acharya, and the image that comes to mind is that beautiful BBT painting with Advaita Acharya offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water to his Shalagram Shila to petition Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three internal causes of Lord Chaitanya's descent. And one of those was the loud cries, the calling of Advaita Acharya for Lord Chaitanya to descend. Lord Chaitanya can descend without Advaita Acharya calling him. But there's the nature of the Lord is he's very affectionate. And he's affectionate upon those who have affection for him. And Advaita Acharya has great affection for him. So he called and he came. There are places, number of places in the Chaitanya Bhagavat where Advaita Acharya is spoken to by Lord Chaitanya. I was in the spiritual world and you called me with such loud cries. I came just for you. He came for many reasons, but he's speaking in this way. I came just for you. So in our another way of besides calling Lord Chaitanya to descend, commonly we think of Advaita Acharya as a member of our Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar and Srivas. So Advaita Acharya is the portion of a plenary portion, or Mahavishnu, as Mahavishnu is unto Krishna, Advaita Acharya is unto Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his tattvas. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the absolute truth, which means everything exists within him, and then he expands unlimitedly. And the function of Advaita Acharya as Mahavishnu it's expressed in the previous verses. This is chapter 6 of Adi Lila. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. Meaning, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, not an incarnation of Krishna, but Krishna himself, there's a difference. There's incarnations of Krishna, and there's Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu himself in Gaura Lila. Text number 8. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. Text 9. By his will he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Sri Advaita is a plenary part of that Purusha and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita is not separate but another form of that Purusha. So, innumerable universes we're very familiar from the Bhagavatam version that from the body of Mahavishnu as he exhales in Sri Brahma Samhita, unlimited numbers of universes are emanating from the pores of his transcendental body. And conversely, when he inhales, all those universes again enter within him. Which means that the energy is his energy. And he releases it, he maintains it, he withdraws it. And he does so through the agency of his various energies. Just like the verse in Sri Brahma Samhita. Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktireka Chaye Vayasha Bhuvanani Vibharati Durga. Durga is in this verse being credited for Srishti, creation, Stiti, maintenance, and Pralaya. She creates, maintains, and destroys the whole cosmic manifestation. So is that a contradiction? Let's start with the position that in the scriptures there's no contradiction. So it's another way of explaining the same thing. The same thing being that Mahavishnu has unlimited potencies. And through the agency of his unlimited potencies, he does so many things. And in Sri Brahma Samhita, we find this impregnation, the act of Mahavishnu glancing. From his body come the universes which are but his energy, and then he glances over those universes, or the reflection of his internal potency, Rama Devi, is known as Chaya Devi. And Chaya Devi is Pradhan. Pradhan means the total, sum total of undifferentiated material ingredients. Everything, a big jumbled up warehouse. Everything exists. Just not even differentiated yet. And the glance of Mahavishnu has a name. That name is Shambhu. And Shambhu is the name of Lord Shiva because it's Lord Shiva that contacts Pradhan. Mahavishnu never, Prabhupada's very basic teachings in general and specifically within Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahavishnu never directly contacts Maya or matter. It's his energy, but he does so through the agency of others, and in this case, for purpose of creation, it's Shambhu. So the glance of the Supreme Lord is Shambhu. It's his glance. So are we going to say that the glance of the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord are different? So in that sense, Shambhu is the same as Mahavishnu. And so we'll find reference again and again, both Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Primarily they speak of Advaita Acharya as Mahavishnu. But sometimes they refer to Advaita Acharya as Lord Shiva. Yes? Here's one example. One example is at in the Kirtan, at the house of Shiva's Anga, Shiva's Thakur's ecstatic Kirtan. And during the Kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance with symptoms of ecstasy that no one had ever seen before and since. He would sometimes jump high in the air and come crashing down on the ground. And Mother Sachi would offer her prayers to Lord Narayan, saying, "If I've done any pious deeds, please let all those pious deeds go to making the landing of my son very soft, so he won't harm his body in any way." Sometimes he'd roll on the ground. Sometimes he'd twirl like a firebrand. So many ways he was exhibiting symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. Sometimes he would faint. In this way, it's the kirtan of the house of Shiva's Thakur is described. So on one occasion, Advaitachari was there. And when Lord Chaitanya fainted in ecstasy of love for Krishna, although he's Krishna himself, he's in the mood of Radha, so he fainted in the mood of ecstasy of love for Krishna, and Advaitacharya came and took the dust from his feet and placed it on his head. When Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness, the kirtan resumed, and as he began to dance, he said, "I'm feeling no ecstasy. Something is different. Has someone made an offense touching the feet of a Vaishnav, touching my feet?" And the description says that all the persons in the assembly, they didn't want to say, "It was Advaita Acharya, he did it." Because he had the position of Lord Shiva, and if angered, everything would be destroyed. So they didn't say. But they were being directly asked, so they wanted to say, but they couldn't say. So then Advaitacharya spoke. And Advaitacharya said, "I am that thief because you are hiding your position of the personality of Godhead, and we know that you're the personality of Godhead, and I got the opportunity to take the dust from your feet, and so I did it." So Lord Chaitanya then replied, "Then the thief will steal from the thief. The cheater will cheat the cheater. I'm the best of cheaters." And he went to touch the feet of Advaitacharya, and they were behaving like little children. Because the position of Mahavishnu and the position of Lord Shiva are simply to serve the person from whom they have emanated, And specifically with Mahavishnu, the purpose is creation. And so, as it's being described here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaita Charya's position, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, he is the manifestation of Mahavishnu, or the plenary portion of the Supreme Lord, for the purpose of creation. He serves the Lord in that way, and now here is this intimate opportunity for Advaita Acharya to serve the Lord directly. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, there was a situation where in Dwarka, the sons of one Brahmin not just died, but they disappeared shortly after their birth. Many, many, many times. You know this pastime. And the Brahmana was very disturbed and he started speaking badly about Krishna. What kind of leader is he? He can't even protect a Brahmana's children. And you know how when people speak like that, it goes around. So it came to Arjuna's ear. So Arjuna went to the Brahmana and said, "My dear Brahmana, I don't know what is the cause, but I promise you, I will protect your child after birth. And if not, I'll enter fire and give up my life." So, please take my word and be peaceful. So the Brahmana's wife became pregnant. At the time of delivery, Arjuna, with his expertise of bowmanship, created an encasement with his arrows where no one could enter and no one could come out either. And sure enough, after the child was born, the child disappeared. And Arjuna went to all lengths to find, where is this child, where is this child, where is this child? And he couldn't find the child anywhere. Not just the child died, the child disappeared. So he had made a vow he was going to enter fire, and so he arranged a fire. And just as he was about to enter the fire, Krishna said, "What are you doing? I know where the children are. Let's go get them." So, beautiful description. Sataputta Prabhu described how he made reference to that in the planetarium design, because it describes the structure of the universe. They traveled in the chariot of Krishna that went through the whole of this universe, went through the coverings of the universe. A little different description that we find in Brihad Bhagavatamrita about the coverings of the universe, and then entered into the spiritual sky, which was totally blinding, and they kept going, and they came to the abode of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu had the children right by his side. He said, "Just, I'm so busy serving you, I don't have any time to get your association, so I know I can get your association this way." Mahavishnu wishes to serve the personality of Godhead. And in the Leela with Advaita Acharya, the service is very intimate. The two lords would speak in such a way that people couldn't understand what they were saying. That kind of confidential. You could broadcast it all over and still people don't know what it is. That kind of confidential. Very confidential relationship. Very, very deep and profound relationship. As much as Advaita Acharya's calling Lord Chaitanya to descend, it was Advaita Acharya who indicated that at a certain point the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are going to be concluded because he's fulfilled the purpose of his coming into this world. So, he serves the Lord by bringing about creation. But he wants this intimate service. Now, this verse that has an 8-page purport, the reason for the length of the purport is Prabhupada is dealing with our acharya's arguments against impersonal philosophy. Because there is an idea in Sankhya, impersonalists like Sankhya, devotees like Sankhya, Kapila Deva, an incarnation of the Lord, taught Sankhya. But there's an impersonal liking for Sankhya too, where it's just somehow presto, wave a wand and do some magic and God disappears. The Advaita Acharya is in that position of, you can say, the invisible Lord or Mahavishnu, who has seen Mahavishnu. Krishna and Arjuna saw Mahavishnu. But otherwise, who has seen Mahavishnu? So how do we know about Mahavishnu from the revealed scripture? So his position is being described in this way. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he, Advaita Acharya, creates innumerable universes, being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes. Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for this world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Mahavishnu creates the material world with millions of his parts, energies, and incarnations. Then it describes how he is the material cause. And it not, and Prabhupada makes it very clear. Not material cause in the way that we normally think of material spiritual. But material cause in the sense of being the ingredient cause. So I'm just going to spend a little bit of time. It's a little technical. I won't get too far carried away. But the author, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, is describing the position of Maya and making a comparison between the position of Maya and the position of the Supreme Lord. Maya has two parts. That's what it says. Dvi Angsha. Maya Yaiche Dvi Angsha. And those two parts are Nimitta and Upadana. Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan being the material cause. So what's Pradhan? Once again, Pradhan is the sum total of material energies that are yet to be differentiated. So that's when, that's Pradhan, or the material cause. And then there's the efficient cause. That's Maya. What is Maya? We all know what Maya is. Maya is accepting something to be what it is not. That's my illusory energy. There's a very nice, very succinct definition that is given in the four essential verses of Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9. Verse 34, 35, it says, Lord Vishnu says to Brahma, when you see that something exists apart from me and has its own intrinsic value, know that to be my illusory energy, Maya. What exists apart from the source of emanation of all things? Nothing. But when one sees that here's something that has its intrinsic worth. Commonly in the world, gold standard is something that you gauge against. I mean, you know, historically. Now it's something else. But gold, because of its various properties, it doesn't lose its luster, it's rare, and many, many things about gold, it's considered, it has intrinsic worth. And then something that's measured against gold that also has its intrinsic worth, like currency that had a gold standard. Anyway, if you see that something, whatever that something is, that exists apart from the Supreme and has its own essential worth, that's Maya. That's my illusory potency. So there are these two parts, the ingredients and Maya, the sense that they exist apart from the Supreme. That's both are necessary for material creation. You have to have the sense of separateness. That's illusory. And you have to have the ingredients that are manifest for some time and withdrawn. They're also, now you see it, now you don't. Temporary. Like the magician that pulls a rabbit out of the hat. He shows you the hat, turns the hat inside, outside. Nothing, it's just a hat. Reaches inside and pulls out a rabbit. Look at the rabbit. And then holds the rabbit up and puts the rabbit back in the hat, and then the rabbit disappears. Where'd the rabbit come from? So the illusory energy is like that. Now you see it, now you don't. It's manifest and then it's not manifest. The duration may be long or maybe short, but it's illusory. That pradan being transformed into mahatattva, and then the whole of the creation, the wheel of time may be short or may be long, or somewhere in between, depending upon the position of the living entity that's observing, the consciousness of the living entity that's observing matter. But the manifestation of matter is now you see it, now you don't. It's temporary, asat. And that it appears to be existing and of worth some value, particularly for me because I want to be the enjoyer of that thing. You have to have both of those elements to have creation. And so they're there. Nimitta Maya and Upadan Maya. So the verse is saying that just as the material energy has these two parts, Maya Nimitta Hetu Upadan Pradan, Purusha Ishvara Aicha, Dvimurti. The Lord also has these two forms for the purpose of creation. The energies are His when Mahavishnu creates. When he glances over, when he expands the universes and he glances over them, it's his own energy. But it's steps in the process of creation that he's doing from his own potency. He's not drawing his potency from anyone else because he's Lord Vishnu. We're not like that. We're dependent. And he's independent. We can't compare ourselves to him. We can do it, but it's Maya. It's illusory. It's Mayavad. The Jiva is Vishnu, or Vishnu is Jiva. That's the hocus pocus that's discussed in this 8-page purport. The living entity disappears and Vishnu disappears. Brahman becomes the only reality and Vishnu disappears. Hocus pocus. We're jugglery. So sometime, maybe in the course of the day, time permits, read this 8-page purport. It's very nice. But the conclusion is, on Advaita Acharya's appearance day, it's very nice to try to bring our attention to who is this personality that we're honoring? Why is it that we're honoring him? Prabhupada explains, I've recently heard this a number of times just hearing his lectures. In the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, one comes to understand who is Krishna. And that knowledge, capacity, is only possible if one's consciousness is pure. Vasudev. And then Vasudev appears in that cleansed consciousness of Vasudev. And then Krishna makes his appearance. So, similarly, what I'm attempting to do here is trying to make some appreciation according to our scripture who Advaita Acharya is, like the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam. Because later, in the morning, 10 o'clock or so, a number of us will be speaking about Advaita Acharya's pastimes. And they're very nice. We'll have a lot of nice time glorifying Advaita Acharya and his wonderful pastimes. But who is the person? He's Mahavishnu, who is the material cause. It is his ingredients that make up this material creation. And just as Krishna descends within that which he has created, Mahavishnu is descending within that which he has created. And not just by the Paramatma expansion as Shirodakshai Vishnu, but he's performing pastimes with Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in very amazing ways. Very deep and difficult to understand ways. One time on the occasion of the Gundicha Marjana, when the devotees had thoroughly cleansed the Gundicha temple, they had pastimes afterwards where they were bathing in Narendra Sarovar, and sometimes they would have splashing pastimes. And these very grave, serious Vaishnavas would start to splash each other. And then there was a war, who could splash one more than the other one. And then they would have sporting pastimes, and one would have to carry the other one. And they were carrying on like little children, just in not worldly sporting, but transcendental activity. So then Advaita Acharya, at Lord Chaitanya's request, he reclined like Ananta Shesh, and Lord Chaitanya floated very peacefully in the body of Advaita Acharya in the water of Narendra Sarovar. So there's many, many layers to the meanings, and very difficult to understand the fullness. Again and again, Vrindavan Das Thakur states, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami states, I'm only narrating, I don't understand. So when we hear the pastimes of these two lords, just hearing them, just the nature of loving dealings between these two wonderful personalities, it's very pleasing to the heart. And it's not so much that we're supposed to have some capacity to understand necessarily the meaning or the message that they're conveying. In some cases, there's a very clear message. But in other cases, even within one pastime, it's not so clear what's being said and done between the two lords. In essence, it's a very, very unique, special exhibition of love. Straight from the spiritual world, descending to this plane, because of Lord Chaitanya's very, very special mercy, he's exchanging freely with all varieties of living entities, including Mahavishnu in the form of Advaita Acharya, the material cause of all the universes, millions and millions of universes. How powerful is Advaita Acharya? A I'll end so that we can go on with the rest of our program and more discussion on Advaitacharya's life later. Hare Krishna. Any comments or discussion? Do we have time? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you. Maharaj, I want to ask that we should try to take the dust of lotus feet of Vaishnava, or we should, it may be an offer. As you mentioned that past time, so we should try to get the dust of lotus feet of Vaishnava. Please elaborate.
You're asking, should we touch the feet of Vaishnavas? Huh? Don't touch my feet, that's for sure. Yes and no. I'm not aware of any scriptural injunction that says that's an offense to a Vaishnava. However, the mood of that particular Vaishnava may dictate to do or to not do. For example, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur strictly forbid people to touch his feet. There's an instance in his life where he made such an awesome presentation, 2 days standing between two parties that were in disagreement with one another over a philosophical issue. It was so brilliantly presented, there was a standing ovation for 10 minutes. And he was trying to leave the hall. And it was a riot. People wanted to touch his feet and he wouldn't let anybody touch his feet. So finally the police came, got a bucket of water, put his feet in the water forcibly so they could sprinkle the water from his feet, because there would have been a riot. So the presentation goes. So check first. Certainly not before the deity. That happens in the temple room. It's an offense to the deity. Not, you know, whether it's an offense to the Vaishnava or not. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, in some lecture I heard that in scripture it is mentioned that Vaishnava Pad is Huli, Vaishnava Pad is Jal.
I can't hear.
Okay. In one scripture is mentioned, I heard in one lecture that Vaishnavair pad dhuli, Vaishnavair pad jal, bhukta bhukta uchisht jay teen mahabal, something like that.
Yeah, the dust of a Vaishnava is very auspicious.
That's true.
But you know from the pastime of Krishna having a headache, no one was ready to give the dust from their feet. Right? So on the one hand, but on the other hand, that's why I said yes and no. Revati Raman, do you want to comment on this question? Pass the microphone back there. No, someone's...
Your comment is ultimate. I don't have any comments. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe there's some kind of technical something or other that I'm not aware of. But you're okay with that answer I gave. Okay. Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we heard that the pastimes of Lord are very deep between the two Lords, and there is some revelations which come through the medium of purports of Srila Prabhupada of the pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So is it possible that at some later point of time an acharya comes and he gives some more deeper meaning to it, or which has not been revealed, or what is our position like, or we just accept?
I think I understand your question. The goal is not necessarily figure it out or something like that. Rather, the goal is to increase your devotion. Years ago, just give an example. Years ago, at Champahati, where there's deities of Gaur Gadadhar, there was a devotee who was a disciple of, he's no longer there, but he was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And from the time he was 14 or something like that, Bhaktisiddhanta assigned him the service of worshipping the deity, and he did it for his whole life. And I remember when we went there, it was a modest size compared to what yatras are these days. Number of devotees, a few hundred devotees. And he was so ecstatic. He was so happy. He was a jumping bean. He was just all over the place, happy to see so many Vaishnavas. And I don't speak Bengali, but there are some that do. And he was sharing with them that every day, since 14, and at that time he was 80 years old, something like that, every day he would read in Bengali the pastime of Lord Nityananda breaking the danda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every day he would try to enter into the mystery of that pastime. And so it wasn't for some intellectual understanding or pick up on some nuance or get some new piece of information. It was entering into the mood of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya's leelas together. Just before entering into Puri, that's also important. Like that. It's an instruction that Prabhupada gave about nectar of devotion, because there are things in nectar of devotion that are very high. We don't understand them. And in letters, Prabhupada was asked, how do we understand this? How do you understand that? And Prabhupada's reply was, if you don't understand, read it again. And if you don't understand, then read it again. And just continue reading again and again until you understand. Like that. It's not something that we're accustomed to. It's deeply devotional subject matters. Even if disclosed, the capacity of the person to receive that which is disclosed isn't present. So best that they just enter into a mood of devotion more deeply, like this brahmachari that I'm referring to. You know, for those many years, Naishika brahmachari, simply serving the deity. And in ISKCON, we're happy if someone who is a pujari stays for some number of years and does their service. But, 66 years of doing service, where are you going to find somebody like that? Uniquely qualified person. And that was his method. Reading, relishing. And then, because it was in his heart, he was discussing. There was one occasion amongst many where I wish I knew Bengali, to hear what he was saying after 66 years of meditation. Like that. Something else? Up front?
And all the Vaishnavas once requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the position of Mother Sati in Navadvip. So Mahaprabhu said, unless until she touched the feet of Advaita Acharya, I will not come to see him and not come to deliver him. She will suffer with the love of Godhead. Krishna Prem. So he told, make arrangement for she should touch the feet of Advaita Acharya. So Vaishnavas are told, how it is possible? Advaita Acharya not allow to touch the feet of Advaita Acharya.
Yeah.
So Mahaprabhu, all the Vaishnavas told to Mahaprabhu, make arrangements. I know Advaita secrecy, so I want to teach that to all Vaishnavas. Make Advaita Thakur have a nature, when the wonderful Sankirtan was performed, all the Vaishnavas, he became unconscious. So all the Vaishnavas told to Mahaprabhu, it is only you can do, no one can do this. So unless until you come, we cannot perform Harinam Sankirtan. So he said, I'll come later on. First she should clear her offenses. So everybody became silent and become, don't know what Mother Sati performed, offensive pregnant Advaita Acharya. So Mahaprabhu ordered to all the Vaishnavas to perform a Sankirtan in my house and invite all the Vaishnavas, Acharyas, whoever surrounding in Navadvip Dham. They all came in from the, as the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Sankirtan was performed. And that secret he told to some confidential Vaishnavas, and huge Sankirtan goes on, and the nature of Advaita Acharya, and huge Sankirtan was performed, he automatically became unconscious. So that time some Vaishnavas, who Mahaprabhu confidentially told, bring Mother Sati and just take the dust of Advaita Acharya, so she will become delivered and achieve love of Godhead.
Yeah.
So what we can learn from this, Maharaj can explain it.
Under Lord Chaitanya's order, anything can happen. Is that all right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's maybe we should save this discussion for 10 o'clock because it's time to, but similarly with the exchange with Kamala Kanta Vishwas, Lord Chaitanya wanted that persons accept Advaita Acharya's position as the personality of Godhead. And anything other than that, Balya, fool. So strong, he was very strong about that with Kamala Kanta Vishwas, and similarly with his own mother. He who had unlimited love for his own mother was unable to accept her thinking not properly about Advaita Acharya. Even because of her motherly affection still. So he created the pastime to honor Advaita Acharya in that way. And Advaita Acharya's position was, how can I give the dust from my feet to, she who's my mother, she's worshipable by me. How is it possible? No. Lord Chaitanya puts us in difficult circumstances sometimes. We have to do what we can't do. But there was a higher purpose. The position of respecting a Vaishnava, and especially his regard. He wanted everyone to know how to honor properly Advaita Acharya. Yeah? All right, we'll end there. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.